Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am doing good. Well rested. Had a good weekend. What about you?
Well, you know, I'm not all that well rested because I did a double drive over to Athens with my oldest for she's getting ready to go to college, and so I'm a little bit tired, a little bit hoarse, but we had a big week last week. We got a lot of stuff coming up this week. I guess a highlight for me was the trip to the British consulate. That was fun stuff.
Yes, that was my first time in the British consulate, and had no idea what to expect, but that was also my first trip in an airlock.
Was that your first experience with an airlock?
Yes, first time.
What is the purpose of that thing? Is that like they suck the oxygen out?
I don't know. Maybe they kind of can sense if there's explosive material on us. I have no idea what happened, but we had to go in there.
But that was a lot of fun. Shout out to Ian Stewart and those guys being very helpful. For those of you that don't know in the listening audience, we're going to put a couple of studios up in the UK in the coming months. And so we were organizing some visits and some folks to meet because I'm going to go out there next month and start getting that put together. And then this week, later in the week, we're going to move into Rome, Atlanta.
That's right. We are going to open our Alpharetta studio in Rome's in their offices.
Yeah, and there's a lot of entrepreneurial activity out there, which is perfect for the theme of our show. Today we have gentlemen from Entrepreneurs Organization, and first up on the High Velocity Radio Show, please join me in welcoming the CEO, Mr. Todd Bone. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you. So give us, if you would, a little bit of a thumbnail sketch on what this organization is all about, what you're out there trying to do for folks.
Well, the Entrepreneurs Organization has about 8,000 members in 40 countries, and the average age of an EO member is about 41, with about $17.3 million in annual revenues. You have to have $1 million in annual revenue to qualify for EO, and it's a peer-to-peer learning group that allows entrepreneurs to learn from each other and help them grow their businesses.
And you brought some folks with you that also fill some very important roles over at EO. We have Mr. David Duncan and Mike Landman. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I understand. David, is it you that you're going to be the incoming grand poobah for this outfit? Is that right? I got that right?
Yes.
So you have the special hat? Is that how it works?
Like that
something like
fez,
that.
Yeah. So tell us, what do you have in mind for this organization going forward?
Well, my role as president won't start till July of 2012, so we're just starting our current year.
So you've
gotten
to
the current planning
a year ahead of?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. So you got to learn the ropes. Is that why?
Yes.
It's that organized.
And what do you do for this crew, Mike?
Well, now I do almost nothing, but I'm the outgoing president.
Okay.
So I just finished my term at the end of June. And I still sit on the board of directors in sort of a past president role, which is to say, you know, point at people and say, hey, you know, when I was president, we did it that way.
It was much better when I was president.
It was so much better back in the old days. Yeah.
Now, how has EO helped your business, Mike?
Well, for me, you know, I think the core thing about EO is that everyone in EO is also an entrepreneur of a similar size and scale, or have at least attained a certain measure of success. And so, you end up in a peer group as opposed to just say a friend group. And I think for me, what was sort of interesting about it is everyone starts on a similar platform of understanding. So if I sit down with Todd, who's an EO and we've never met before, we don't spend hours and hours and hours trying to explain to each other, what do we do? And da, da, da. And by the time you get to any sort of high level conversation, you know, your plane is there or whatever.
Right.
And so it allows a platform almost immediately with anyone in EO to talk about kind of higher level stuff or stuff that's, you know, more directly impacting your life as opposed to trying to get on the same page for the first year of your relationship. So,
and so are these structured events, structured meetings? Is there methodology to all this, or do we all just kind of get together and smoke cigars and chat, or share with us a little bit about the experience, if you would?
Yeah, there's really, it's broken down into kind of two chunks. There's the chapter Atlanta, which has about 130 members. And we have, say, monthly learning events, maybe a speaker, a workshop, something like that. But kind of the core experience of EO is these smaller groups inside of that called forums. And so that might be about 10 entrepreneurs, none of whom compete, none of whom do business together and that kind of thing. And that's designed around a very sort of I don't say formal, but kind of a strict protocol around experience sharing. And so it's designed around confidentiality, experience sharing, and then contributing to the group. And so what it allows for is to get very, very deep on a lot of issues, and it allows the other nine folks to share experiences without rendering advice or opinion, which is kind of what allows them to keep their longevity. So if I come in with a problem and Todd kind of criticizes me for it, pretty sure I'm not going to come back to the group with that problem, right? If Todd listens and shares an experience that is in some way related without passing some sort of formalized judgment, then I'm not worried about coming back the next time. And so that kind of builds over time in a forum to create a very close-knit group of people who can talk about, you know, pretty vulnerable issues in business and personal.
Like, what's an example of one of the issues that recently we're covering?
Well, that's the confidentiality part, but the kinds of issues that...
So we're just going to air it.
Yeah. So the kinds of issues that would come up would be anything from I'm having a business issue with, say, my business partner. My marriage is collapsing.
So it could be personal. It's just anything related to, that impacts the business.
It's really anything that impacts the entrepreneur.
That's
what makes it kind of unique in that. I don't want to speak for other professions, but as an entrepreneur, you don't really leave at 5 o'clock. And so the personal and the business are so inexorably connected that it's really the entrepreneur we're focused on. So any of the other types of events could also be about business, but they could be about relationships or your kids or, you know, whatever it is that's sort of impacting the whole of that.
You as a whole, right?
Yeah.
So what was the impetus for forming this organization? How long has it been around and how did it get off the ground? Do you guys know?
It's been around for about 25 years. I think about 25 years. It was founded, I can't remember all the people that founded it.
It was probably started by the government, right?
It's a government program.
Such an efficient and effective
program. We've all got
badges. And the Atlanta chapter, I guess I'm a little bit taken aback about how large this organization is. You even mentioned having an international contingent, I think, Todd.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'm actually kind of jazzed about maybe you can get us a chance to talk to somebody over there across the pond.
The people. UK has got a strong chapter. And
oh, do they?
Yeah.
Great group of people.
But not as good as Atlanta.
So
talk to us more about it, Atlanta. Tell us a little bit more about this chapter and some of the specific things you guys have going on.
Well, I've been a member for about 7 years, so I think Todd's got the longevity here. He's been a member a little bit longer than I have.
It's not a competition.
No, but 7 years. Have you been a member of anything? I haven't been a member of AAA for 7 years. You're obviously getting value out of it.
Tremendous value.
Yeah.
I started out, it was a professional development activity for me, but I've formed my closest relationships with people in the group. That I never would have met in any other venue. The overall vision of the organization is to build the world's most influential community of entrepreneurs. So given that, I think it's bringing together a lot of bright minds, active, engaged people, and when you get a dynamic group like that together, there's just positive energy that comes out of it. Not to mention the speakers that we get. We're putting on a conference in April of this year called EO Nerve, and we'll be bringing about 350 entrepreneurs from mostly the eastern U.S.
Wow.
To Atlanta for 2 days of learning events.
So you'll have speakers come in, you'll have concurrent sessions, and then you'll have all that networking over a two-day period?
Yes.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah. Now, is that happening all over the country, or is this special to the Southeast like this?
It's a conference that started out of the Northeastern chapters, and this is the first time it's going to be in Atlanta.
Oh, so it rotates around?
Yeah, I think this is the third or fourth Nerve conference that we've put on.
Wow.
So it's actually like a whole range. So other regions might do events like these. You know, Texas has they have like four huge chapters. They do an event like this. They do something similar on the West Coast. And then EO Global formally puts on two what are called universities every year. Usually one's in the U.S. and then one's somewhere that's not in the U.S. So most recently it was in Cape Town and Houston. Before that it's been in, you know, Berlin and New Delhi, what have you. And that's really anybody who's in EO is welcome to go to those. They usually end up with maybe 700 or 800 folks. And that's like a full 3-day, once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. Everything from incredible sort of dining to all the sort of learning events to flying in a glider. I mean, it kind of runs the gamut of what can happen. So you've got, you know, these more formal ones, and then like what we're throwing on is, it's no less formal, but it isn't for all of EO. It's really just for the Eastern region, and then other regions do that as well.
Now, you mentioned early that there's a criteria for being a member. Like, how does one become a member?
You can't get in.
Is that what you're fishing for? Not even close.
Sorry, no celebrities.
I'm a micro celebrity. I can sneak in the back door. Now, like, how does one become a member? Is it you get invited to be a member? How does it work?
Yeah, it's really just, it's for entrepreneurs. Your business has to be doing over $1 million a year. I think if it's less, you have to have, I think, $4 million. In venture capital funding, but you have to be basically the person that makes the decisions at the company.
And then, so it's the one person, the entrepreneur is the only person in the group that gets invited to come, not like the whole team?
Yeah, right. I mean, if you have a co-founder, the co-founder could potentially qualify as well.
And they've got to be, it's got to be an operating company. It can't just be, you know, someone who sells.
Passive investor. Or
two houses a year for $500,000 each.
But one of the cool things about EO is I've been in for 12 years, and the reason I joined was I had three businesses at the time, and one was an internet consulting firm, and I was selling it. And I looked around, and I thought, first of all, I don't have very many friends that own companies, let alone anybody that's gone through a sale of a company.
Right.
So who do you talk to? And so I got involved with EO, and it just so happened in my forum, there was three other guys that had sold companies before. And so they were able to walk me through all the nuances of a transaction, and it was just immensely beneficial.
So you got like kind of instantly, you got value, just like
it's incredible value. I mean, where do you learn how to become an entrepreneur?
Right, and get it like from the horse's mouth, not from a textbook.
And you get it from their experiences. So they you know, they shared with me anything from going over their purchase sale agreements.
So they would bring them and saw it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we do things in forum, like my forum, we bring in our monthly financials. So we do trailing 12-month charts on our businesses, and we analyze each other's financials. And, some of the best things that you learn from are the questions that get asked, like, you know, why do you have this much in accounts receivable over 60 days?
So you get into kind of the nitty-gritty. And now, is it something where, like, what if a company's not doing well? What if one of the entrepreneurs is really struggling and they're kind of embarrassed, or there's some shame involved in this? Is there ever that sense?
Well, that's kind of what that protocol is designed for. So when we were talking a little bit before about how there's, you know, experience sharing, not the rendering of judgment, and it's a skill, actually, that we take a whole day when you first join EO to even learn how to converse this way, you know, but and it builds over time. But that's the whole idea, really, is so that when that time comes, you have a safe place to go.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could go months without anybody having some really important issue that,
right,
you know, is killing them. But now when they come, they're not at all ashamed. They're coming to you, like, laying it out because you've kind of laid out some stuff in the past. So everybody's kind of on equal footing from a vulnerability standpoint. So I think that's, like, if someone's going to get leverage from their forum, that's when they're going to get leverage from their forum.
Right.
Because they would be too embarrassed to go anywhere else. And they probably wouldn't go anywhere else. And most entrepreneurs are kind of wired to figure it out themselves,
right?
You know, which often doesn't work.
Work harder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, all three of you are current or past presidents.
Yep.
And there's the member experience, which it strikes me as very different than anything I've come across so far. And we talk to a lot of associations and organizations that come through the show, but then there's the experience of leading an organization like this. I wonder if each of you would take a minute and just speak to that experience and what that's meant for you.
Well, I would say, first, I think it's important to note that this organization is a nonprofit. So all of the leadership at the chapter level and the global leadership level, it's all volunteer. There's no, you know, profit or benefit for what we do. We're engaged because we're very passionate about it. Other organizations out there take a different route, and that's not, I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just the nonprofit, I think, lends credibility to our organization. As far as a leadership standpoint, that's one of the reasons I got involved early on when I joined as a member. I think after my first 6 months, I was asked to join the board in the forum role, forum chair. And I got more, I've been getting on a continual basis more leadership training than from that aspect, from the my fellow board members, than anything. I've gotten over the years pretty close to several people that have been on the board. I've gone on to some global leadership roles, and there's a ton of leadership training, formal leadership training that happens and is just given to these members who want to take the chance and lead.
So is your involvement in EO, did this replace something else? Like, were you doing something to get this kind of, were you part of other networking or member groups or any other advice? This kind of was a...
This was my first activity in anything.
You got it right out of the box. The man is a winner.
So you didn't have, you weren't spending time in other groups or organizations. No. So you're like, wow, this is really, I'm dreading coming to this meeting.
I'd attended some networking events, and when I went to this first event, the thing that impressed me the most is no one tried to sell me anything.
Right.
I met insurance agents, I met wealth planners, and none of them were giving me their card trying to sell anything. And I learned that that's strictly forbidden. And that was a big plus for me, because I can feel like, you know, my presence is wanted because of what I bring to the table as far as conversation and thought process, not, you know, I'm a client or a potential client.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's my experience too with like networking events or organizations, is that you're always on guard, and over time the people that are supposed to be there get replaced by people who are prospective vendors. And so when you're sitting at lunch listening to the speaker, you're also having to sort of battle, you know, the sales process. So the non-solicitation covenant that is EO just makes that a completely comfortable thing. So if somebody calls me and leaves a message that they want to talk to me, there's probably a 1% chance they'd ever get a call back. If that message says, hey, this is Joe Smith, I'm calling from EO Ontario, can you give me a call back? That guy immediately gets a call back, because I have no fear that he's trying to sell me something or solicit my attention for something other than maybe he needs help or he's going to be in Atlanta or something.
That's great. Okay, so let's move from David's naivete about what it's going to be like being president. I'm kidding. But you've been president. What was that like for you, and what did that do for you personally and for your business?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I probably got the most out of it was, well, there's really two things. I've been on the board for about 5 years, and one of the big values is that there's experience sharing and meeting people and all that, which is awesome. But then there's actually working together toward a shared goal. Like, whether you're volunteering and sandbagging, whatever it is, there's a connection that happens when you're working with someone, and a relationship you develop that's just different than just knowing them, you know? So that's always been, a really cool part about being in leadership. President in particular is an interesting thing, because you're leading people who, in many cases, are better leader than you. At minimum, they are equals. That is a really unique sort of challenge. They're all volunteers as well. And so that's helped me sort of realize that in my business as well, that's still the better approach to working with people. You know, people are working for you voluntarily. They can go anytime they want to. You know, we don't have some magic, you know, ownership of people in our employ or what have you. And so the kind of skills that it requires for me to work with Todd and David are really the same kind of skills that are required for me to work with anybody. And that is something that's just, it's just more illustrated when, you know, you're in the boardroom and it's like all these guys who have better businesses than you and are smarter than you and, you know, so.
Now, is there, you mentioned this is a nonprofit, is there any component that helps foster entrepreneurship amongst, you know, maybe the youth or other groups of people?
So we've got a program called Accelerator that's meant for helping grow businesses that are in the $125,000 a year revenue up to $1 million.
Oh, wow.
And we've got quarterly events that focus on finance, HR, marketing, advertising.
Strategy.
Yeah. And they're day-long events, and, you know, the accelerator participants go through and fill out worksheets and get a lot of learning, get a lot of valuable experience sharing from top EO facilitators and entrepreneurs.
Wow, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's like a curriculum-based program, so it has a more narrow focus rather than being focused on the entrepreneur per se. It's focused on helping them get that business $2 million. Because at that stage, you probably don't have much of a personal life if you're going to get it there. We've had now three folks graduate from that program. We started that here 3 years ago. It's a global program, but only about 20 chapters are involved in it. So we've had three of those that have graduated to become full Audio members that had revenues of maybe, you know, average of a couple hundred thousand 3 years ago. So cool.
You're growing your own members now?
Yeah, basically.
It's a member kind farm.
Of. Bit of a farm league.
And yeah. We're actually having global student contests as well that
really?
at regional universities. This last one in New York, I was one of the judges. And so these students are really on top of it.
And
they
they're
really,
college
really cool.
Students?
Yeah, college students.
Wow. It's called the Global Student Entrepreneur Awards.
GSEA.
Wow.
So, and then they win a grant from EO. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it can really, really accelerate their businesses.
And they're making significant contacts.
Yeah, I'm sure that their Rolodex expands dramatically when they get involved.
Can you imagine as a college student getting an opportunity to do something like this?
Right. I hope they appreciate it.
I think the grant's $500,000.
That rocks!
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's significant.
Yeah,
so business funding.
A nice startup capital.
Yeah,
jump start.
They use that to buy Rolodexes, actually.
So they got to find out what a Rolodex is. They have no idea.
Look, a Rolodex.
So, Todd, I'd like to start with you, but I would like you, if you would, to share a little bit about your business and maybe give us an example or some a little bit of an illustration of how your experience with EO has impacted your business, if you would.
Sure. I'm CEO of Exis International. I founded it, the company, 20 years ago. I've got another company as well, but Exis sells IT services to federal data centers and commercial data centers. So we maintain equipment from supercomputers to Cisco routers. And we haven't always done services. The company used to sell products for a number of years, and it was actually a speech from Jack Welch, who we had come to EO Atlanta and talk about his time at GE and how he converted GE from 80% in product sales to 80% in service sales by the time he left. And it really woke me up to the world of the Internet making everything a commodity. So I had the challenge over a course of 3 or 4 years to dynamically change our business to a service-based business. And I really relied on a lot of people in EO that ran service-based businesses to help us accomplish that. And we had to do that during a recession, too. So thankfully, we made it through, and we actually made the Inc. 5000 in 2011. So we're on our way.
So did EO, did you have other advisors that were your company's advisors, or does EO kind of take that role for you?
I did. I had other advisors that it seemed like I could get in more detail with EO members, especially my forum. So, I would make numerous presentations, and, I'm not paying my forum to be my advisors. They're there 4 hours a month for me, and I can do an hour-long presentation, and I can meet with them afterwards. I had a couple members come up to my facility, and we'd walk through certain aspects of how we were changing the company, and I would get more direct advice from them.
So that was more beneficial?
I think it's more beneficial than having a board of advisors.
Wow, that's pretty
well, and they don't just tell you what you want to hear either, right?
Well, yeah.
And they're a very candid crowd, I bet.
And they have no interest. I mean, there's no...
Right.
They don't gain or lose based on what they tell you or ask you. Really, it's more the questions than the answers. I mean, it's not really an answer group. It's more of a questioning group, to kind of take you down a path.
And you actually share a specific methodology or a skill set to help them learn how to do that, too.
Yeah, right? there's a protocol called Gestalt Protocol, and that protocol is around, you present sort of the issue, then everybody asks questions, not leading questions, not opinion questions, actual questions, clarifiers, and then everyone goes around the group and shares an experience, and, the part where everybody panics is my experience even relevant here, and so but you go around and do it anyway, and you realize that maybe five of those eight experiences are relevant to that person, but the other three experiences, somebody else goes, oh, man, I'm going through this other problem. Your experience really, like, right. clarified right. something for me. This happened to me in my forum, and it was the advice or whatever wasn't directed toward me, and I had kind of an epiphany moment from it. So that's part of the reason experience sharing is valuable. Like, me giving you advice is interesting to you and me, but then eight people sit around kind of bored. Me sharing experience is interesting and relevant to everyone in the room and keeps everyone engaged. So,
well, I can see why you've been hanging out with these folks for 12 years, Todd. Well, that, and you get really high caliber speakers like your Jack Welch, your Lee Cantor, mm-hmm. you know, people like
yeah,
that, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Now, David, tell us about your business.
So I'm a co-founder and COO of Patty Wax. We're a wholesale candle and home fragrance manufacturer. I started it with my partner about 15 years ago, and I was just graduating college when we started. I was not a academic person, kind of a slacker, never took any business or accounting classes. Not a very engaged student, and never had an outlet for any kind of learning related to business. I was going to be a teacher. So when this organization, I was exposed to this organization, it was a natural fit for me because I got some very practical finance knowledge, operation knowledge, and We brought on a private equity investor about 2 years ago, and like Todd said, that experience, I went through and had former VC guys that are in my forum, guys that have done some significant transactions, help me with the operating agreement and help me work through that process. So the impact on that to my business and personally, you know, I don't think you can put a dollar value on that.
Yeah.
I felt very safe and very confident going through that process, knowing that these guys were, giving me their unsolicited advice and opinion.
So now, can you imagine looking back when you were in college that you would be, president of a group like this?
Actually, yeah.
It was after college that he started to panic.
Yeah.
Were you going to be a gym teacher?
It's funny how life has their twists and turns, huh?
Yeah. We've been talking about how, entrepreneurs are sharing their problems and things like that. It's not just problems. It's a place that we entrepreneurs can also share success stories. So I think sometimes there are some entrepreneurs that, aren't comfortable talking about a great deal that they just closed or a success they just had in kind of some of these tough economic times because their friends aren't entrepreneurs or might not have those successes going on right now. So it's also a safe place to kind of share success.
It's so hard to have. I mean, even Lee and I, we know this, we experience it. It's hard to have conversations with other people that are not entrepreneurs. It's just a completely different mindset. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there, in the group of entrepreneurs, are there many people that came from like a corporate-y world, like for 20 years and then now are on their own?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a good percentage came somehow through that, decided to start a business. Then there's a percentage of us, like David and myself, that had never worked in any sort of a corporate environment and started our businesses.
Because I would imagine the mindset's a little different, when they come from a corporate background and had a level of success in that world, and then they go to an entrepreneur where it's kind of an eat-what-you-kill world. It's a little different.
The mindset might, it might be different. I think sometimes the mindset can be the same, and that might be why they're no longer in the corporate world.
Right.
But they've got a different set of experiences.
Sure.
I think that's valuable.
Sure.
Getting some of that.
Right.
Because
a lot of entrepreneurs want to sell their corporate world, so it's good to get that kind of side of the table, too, that information.
And also, I think after 2 years of being an entrepreneur, everyone's been fully reset at that point from whatever their past was, so.
Now, Mike, tell us about your business.
My business is Ripple IT, and we manage computer networks for companies, small, mid-sized companies with usually less than 150 employees, companies that sort of want one sort of push button for their IT, not managing 20 vendors or what have you. So we kind of take over that whole ecosystem and then manage it for them.
And how has the EO Association, the association with this organization, impacted your business directly, you think?
Well, I think directly, it's hard to say, oh, this came from EO, but I can say that in my forum, because the way they're set up is there's such a variety of people, so no one in my forum is in my business and so forth.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of stuff that just wouldn't normally be in my radar about finance or, you know, certain type of operations or whatever, stuff that just had never been there for me. All of a sudden, I'm totally exposed to it. So when I'm going around sharing my problem, let's say, I'm pretty sure, you know, I know what's going to come out of that. In fact, I have no idea what's going to come out of it because, you know, everybody comes from this totally different, you know, mindset. I kind of joke around that I'm the only person in my forum that doesn't pay attention to LIBOR, you know, but the fact is they all do pay attention to LIBOR. And so they start to talk about things in ways around finance or whatever that just wouldn't be anything related to my expertise or how I would come at a problem. So sometimes just having a group of people that come at the problems differently helps. And then I think, you know, for me, it's almost in some ways had a bigger impact on my life than like a direct business success. So yeah, I would say now I probably had one entrepreneur friend, maybe, I don't know, before I joined EO. And I bet 80% of any new friendships I make have come through EO. So suddenly you're in this world of like-minded and people who are having the same experiences and commonalities. You can talk about stuff and it's just very attractive. And so, you know, you just end up having these deep, great relationships with, you know.
So you're saying that you hang out with them outside of the group? Like,
oh, yeah.
Because, you know, in some groups you just see them at the group and that's the only time you're ever going to see them. But you're saying that you just, you know, go to a movie or go to dinner and just hang out socially?
Yeah. I mean, usually involves drinking, but if that's okay.
It goes without
can I say that?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, before we let you go, I want to make sure that our listeners know about any upcoming events. And I want to make sure that they know how to get in touch with you guys to learn more about becoming a member. So, David, you want to field part of that?
Sure. That's what Mike and I are writing down.
Oh, okay. There'll be a short station break so while we get our act together.
You can look at eoatlanta.com or eonetwork.org for the global organization. And or, you know, you can follow Mike at Twitter at Mike Landman or me at The Candlemaker.
Very nice. And so talk to us a little bit. We've got this thing in April, was it, that's coming up?
Yeah, it's next April, so if you're interested in attending, it's only for entrepreneurs. You'd have to join the EO Atlanta chapter.
Gotcha.
Right.
So just it's easy to get to eonetwork.org and just fill out simple information, and somebody will contact you.
All right. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you all three in the studio this morning. And, Lee, I'd like to have some more members come through and talk about their businesses and talk about this. I mean, to me, this is just so consistent with our whole value system, our focus here. So would you guys be up for that sometime? Maybe coming back, bring some other members?
Absolutely.
One thing we're not short on is people talking about themselves in our organization.
Is that one of the criteria on the application?
Yeah, it's just one of the side effects.
Yeah. Well, terrific job today, guys, and thoroughly enjoyed having you on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor. Our guests this morning, Todd Bone, David Duncan, and Mike Landman with EO, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.